As we continue our study of the book of Proverbs, we're still in the 13th chapter, and we're beginning now at the 8th verse. The 8th verse reads like this: "The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke." NIV words it this way: "A man's riches may ransom his life, but a poor man hears no threat." We tend to determine how well people are blessed according to the amount of earthly wealth they possess. We think they are more or less happy according to how much of this world's goods they own. But Solomon shows here that it's a great mistake to believe this. Those that are poor may be well adjusted to their state and have great happiness. They do not covet riches nor envy those who have great abundance, while those who are in possession of great earthly wealth may be living a life filled with misery. Those that are rich may be respected for their riches, yet many will envy them and attack them because of their riches. Their very lives may be in danger as they are forced to use their riches as a ransom to save their lives. Also, there are times when the rich may have gotten their wealth as a result of loving riches more than God. When they see that they must give up this love of money to please God, then their wealth becomes a ransom for their soul. In some nations, the rulers consider it a crime simply to be rich, and they deal out persecution as a result. So riches can be a terrible burden, especially if they put the life or the soul into jeopardy as a result of possessing them. On the other hand, those that are poor may be despised and denied the friendship of some because they are poor, yet these same poor spared the abuse that some would give them if they were rich. They simply do not have enough riches to be held in ransom for. So the proverb says the poor hear not rebuke. They're not criticized or accused or attacked, nor given the trouble which the rich receive. Nobody thinks it's worthwhile to go after them. Lawsuits are not brought against the poor. You're not going to be sued for money you do not have. It's the rich who have those problems. When the rich Jews were carried captive to Babylon, the poor of the land were left behind. 2 Kings 25:12, "But the captain of the guard left of the poor of the land to be vine dressers and husbandmen." Now, don't you know those that were poor were very happy to be allowed to stay home, not be carried off captive to a foreign land and be put through all kinds of persecution? They got to stay home and take care of the crops. You cannot be robbed of that which you do not have. Yet the poor can be very happy. They can be in perfect harmony with God's will. And we again come back to the basic truth that godliness with contentment is great gain, and we read about it in 1 Timothy 6:6. So let's read this proverb again, verse 8: "The ransom of a man's life may are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke." NIV says, "A man's riches may ransom his life, but a poor man hears no threat." Next proverb is in verse 9. "The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out." NIV says, "The light of the righteous shines brightly, but the lamp of the wicked is snuffed out." The word light is used here figuratively to indicate the general well-being of a person. The more light one has, the better their general state of well-being is, especially their spiritual well-being. This proverb is stating a general truth about the difference between the righteous and the wicked. The more light one has, the better is the general state of well-being. The well-being of the good abounds and remains. The light of the righteous rejoiceth. Now, that's what our proverb says. The light of the righteous rejoiceth. Not only do they have these gifts, graces, and comforts which benefit their soul with spiritual blessings, but even their earthly blessings are their joy. In Proverbs 4:18-20, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more under the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." On the other hand, the wicked cannot look forward to increased and lasting well-being, spiritual or earthly. The comfort of the wicked is diminishing and withering and dying. Their lamp burns dimly and faintly. It'll eventually go out. It will shortly be put out in utter darkness. Isaiah 1:10-14, "Oh, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks and of lambs and of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are troubling to me. I'm weary to bear them. And so what he's saying here is to these people who are unrighteous. He's talking about the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and those like that. Their worship is an abomination to God. He doesn't care to have them to do worship to them when they worship him wrong. What is the purpose of your multitude of sacrifices to me, he says. You're not living the right kind of a life. You're wicked. I'm full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I don't delight in the blood of bullocks and lambs and he-goats. And he talks about when you come before me, who required you to do this? Don't bring any more vain oblations or sacrifices to me. Incense is an abomination to me. And your new moons and Sabbaths and the assemblies, I don't like them. And so we can be wicked and do all kinds of worship to God, and God's not going to accept our worship if we're in a wicked state. God resents it. God looks upon it as something that's distasteful to him, something he does not want to put up with. He really can't stand it. And he says, my soul hateth your new moons and your appointed feasts. So if you're living a wicked life, you can go through all kinds of rituals and worship. And usually the worship you're going to be doing is something that God hadn't asked for anyway. It's going to be something that you get from man. And God does not appreciate it. We do not have a right to say, God, I'm giving you this worship. You're obligated to take it. If we're not living the right kind of a life, and if our worship is not the right kind of worship, God resents it. God despises it. It's a trouble to him. But the light of the righteous is going to be like the sun. It may be temporarily covered by a cloud, but it'll continue to be bright again. Yet the light of the wicked is as a dim lamp, which shall soon be extinguished forever. So our proverb, verse 9, says, the light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. The next proverb, verse 10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. NIV says, pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Now here we learn something really interesting and important about pride. To have pride is to have arrogance. Arrogance is a feeling that you are better than someone else. If you're arrogant, it's because you're feeling better than someone else. And that's a feeling you should not have. This is a feeling that makes you seem to have more value, that you are more important, and that you are superior to other persons. This attitude of pride, arrogance, and haughtiness may be hidden from others, but it usually is very obvious that this attitude is present. It can bring about no good. This attitude of pride is only bad. We should strive to rid ourselves of any degree of pride, arrogance, or haughtiness. This parable tells us that this state of mind of being proud, or arrogant, or haughty, only causes contention. Now, have contention is to quarrel. Now, this idea of quarreling can be over small things such as a rivalry between siblings, but it can extend to the greatest of quarrels. It can go from one individual opposing another individual, to one group against another group, to one nation against another nation, to a group of nations against a group of nations. A world war. It can lead to violence, causing one person to be killed or wounded, several persons to be killed or wounded, or thousands of persons to be killed or wounded. These quarrels, large or small, can be over religion, politics, race relations, between lovers, between families, over property, over wealth, or territory. Many reasons can be behind the quarrels, but pride and arrogance are at the bottom of it. The proverb says, only by pride cometh contention. Pride and arrogance, one thinking they're better than another, and probably in the case of wars, each side thinks they're better than the other. People will get revenge and never forgive because of pride. But on the other hand, those who are well advised, those who have wisdom, will not have this pride. The opposite of pride is to be humble and peaceable. These persons will ask for and consider advice. They'll consult their Bibles. They'll consult their own consciences. They'll consult fellow members of the church. They'll do nothing rashly. They will intentionally do no harm to another person. As much as is possible, they will live peaceably with all persons. Just as they are wise in other matters, they're wise in this matter of not having pride or vanity. They will humble themselves. They'll stoop and yield. They'll make every effort to preserve quietness and prevent quarrels rather than to cause strifes, quarrels, or conflicts. As much as is possible, they will live peaceably with all men. So let's read our proverb again. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Those who have wisdom are not going to be following this contention. NIV words it like this: pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Next proverb, verse 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. NIV says, dishonest money dwells